Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When you think of the second son, what do you picture? I'm sure whether this is the first time or the 100th time that you've heard this parable, often called the parable of the prodigal son, but other names given to it as well, and you hear the older son, what do you visualize? What comes to mind? Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound." But he was angry and refused to go in. What do you picture? Arms crossed. For you, do you get a close-up picture of the older son's face? The grimace, the scowl, the anger? For you, is there a pointing finger? How could he? He doesn't deserve that. For your picture, is there the yelling and the ranting? "Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends." What's your picture? What comes to mind when you hear of the older son in the parable? And more importantly, which of these aspects, whether it's the arms crossed, the face, the finger, the words, or whatever else, describes us? How often have you or I been stubborn like the older son? How often would we rather remain angry than forgive? How often do we hold on to the hurt? Hold a judgmental attitude toward the other person? How often do we want to just remain right in the situation? Rather than show love, forgiveness, humble ourselves, and ultimately work toward reconciliation with another. In a lot of ways, it's easier. It's easier to just hold on to the hurt, to remain angry, to consider only ourselves being better and right and holier than the other. So much so that we'll do that for days, weeks, maybe decades. And yet in this parable, certainly the older son is not the only prominent figure. If we were to order them, he might be the third most important. Because as was noted, often the center of attention, and to a degree rightfully so, the younger son is the one who gets the most attention. In the parable, Jesus is telling of it itself, as well as in our thinking about it, along with the father. And maybe most importantly so, the father and how he acts. the portrayal that we receive from Him. But especially when we consider the older son, notice how different the father is. Even in his interactions with the older son. The older son, he was angry. He refused to go in. And what does his father do? He comes out to him. He draws near. And he entreats him. Begs. Maybe invites him to join the celebration. But what if the parable was different? What if, after everything had taken place with the younger son and the father, and then the older son acts this way, what if the father responded in like manner as the older son? Certainly, he could have responded to the older son with words of you're just being ungrateful for what I've done for you. How entitled you are. Do you not recognize all that I've done for you and given to you? What if the father responded like the older son with anger, holding on to hurt, righteous judgment? Of all the people in this parable, the father has the most right to do so. And yet that's not what he does. Just as he had done with the younger son, the one who had rebelled, taken, and then squandered half of his possessions, the father responds with compassion. He draws near, running to the younger son, going outside to the older son, embracing, drawing near, celebrating, and inviting in. What if God treated you and me the way that you and I are so often inclined to treat others? Angry, judgmental, pointing a finger, righteous than others. What if? Of all people, God certainly has the most right to do so. We, His creation, the pinnacle of His creation, those made in His very image who have messed up everything, rebelled, squandered, who have acted either entitled or ungrateful, and now walk around strutting in our ways, thinking that we're better than the next. God would have every right to leave us in the ditch with the pigs. And yet, He doesn't. He hasn't. Instead, God, our Heavenly Father, has responded with compassion to you and to me. Rather than holding on to irreconciliation, keeping things the way they are at a distance, God does what is needed to draw near to us and to bring us near to Him. Our epistle reading makes this explicit for us today. As Paul talks about this topic of, of reconciliation. He's first and foremost primarily talking about not our reconciliation with others, but our reconciliation with God. Picking up in verse 19, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself. This good, beautiful creation of His that had fallen away, broken, become damaged, God desired to have it back and to have you back. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. If you and I are honest with ourselves, and hopefully during this Lenten season, hopefully at all times, but as we take a particular season to dwell on this, we're honest with ourselves. How many times we have rebelled against the Father? How many times we have been ungrateful? How many times we have been entitled? And if we kept score on how many times that would be, we'd fill up this side of the page. And even if we wanted to try to justify ourselves, even if we wanted to say, well, but I've also been a good son or daughter in this way and that way, and I did this nice thing, and I said this kind thing. We know the list. The scorecard, it still wouldn't work out in our favor. See, the thing is God doesn't look at the scorecard for you and me. Not counting their trespasses against them. Every black mark that you and I would mark on the wrong side of the ledger, God ignores. He sets it aside, not because it doesn't matter, not because it hasn't happened, but because of Christ. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, Paul says, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Why? Because for our sake, He made Him. God made Jesus to be sin, the one who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. The one who had no black marks on His scorecard, He takes all of them, every last one. For you and me, every one of us sitting here, and even every other person throughout time and history. The Father. There's no place in the parable for Jesus. But the Father gives His very own. He doesn't hold it against the younger son. He doesn't hold it against the older son. But rather, He gives His own Son, Jesus, to die for you and me. So that we might be His again. So that we might be right with Him. Or as Paul says in 2 Corinthians, so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God. What an incredible, extravagant love that God the Father has for you and me. And so, go back with me one more time to your picture. To your picture of the older son. Whether it's the arms crossed, the angry face, the pointing finger, or the words of yelling and ranting. You and I acknowledge that we are tempted toward irreconciliation. And it's in those times that we ask, help me, Jesus. Because what if instead of looking at our brother or sister, that person in the world that hurt us or did that thing that we feel is unforgivable, what if we look to the Father instead? What if we look to the one who could have acted in the same way and yet didn't? What if we keep our eyes on our Heavenly Father who has had great compassion on you and me? Our eyes on Jesus, the one who laid down his life on the cross for you and me. And what if in doing so, knowing that you and I have been reconciled to God through Christ, we approach others with the same attitude. We strive for reconciliation with those around us because of what God has done for you and me in Jesus. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.